Okay, so we are in Shmuel Aleph, Parak Zion. And the Aron has thus been returned to the Jewish people. It wasn't treated properly at first by the people of Beit Shemesh, and many people died. And then the people of Beit Shemesh, in the very last sukkim of Perek Vav, so they say, who could stand before the Aron? And they end up sending it to this place called Kiryas Yearim. And that's where the Aron ends up. So that's how Perek Zayin starts. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Vayavo anshe Kiryas Yearim, and the men of Kiryas Yearim came. Vayalu es Aron Hashem, and they brought up the Aron of Hashem. Vayavu oso el beis Avinadav Bagiva, and they brought it to the house of Avinadav in Giva. Giva means literally like a height. So this was a high point.
That's on the hill here.
The hill, okay. That's Elazar b'no kiddushu lishmuras Aron Hashem. And Elazar, his son, they sanctified, they dedicated to guard the Aron of Hashem, like by kiddushin. You know, it's just the man and the woman. So similarly here, this person would be dedicated to the specific task of protecting the Aron. And as I mentioned, it was in this place. It was on the hill. They put it as a sign of respect at a high point. Maybe similar to how Harabayas Temple Mount is the high point of Yerushalayim. If, you know, the Beis HaMikdash, the Aron, belongs in a place of respect, place of prominence at a higher point. Vayehi miyom sheves ha'aron b'Kiryas Yearim, and it was from the day that the Aron dwelled in Kiryas Yearim, vayirbu hayamim, and the days were many, vayiyu esrim shana, and it was 20 years, meaning it drags on, that it remained there for 20 years. Vayinoluk obeis Yisrael acharei Hashem, and the people, they were drawn after Hashem. That's how Rashi learns. The Radak learns that it's from the word like to cry, that they cried and they davened to Hashem. The Radak says, yeah, yesh harshim lachem nahu, klomar bachu, that they tried and they did tshuva, and followed after Hashem. And we're going to see that Shmuel plays a big role in this, in guiding the people on the right path. Vayomer Shmuel kol beis Yisrael leimar, and Shmuel said to all of the house of Israel, saying, in b'chol levavchem atem shavim al Hashem, if you are really doing tshuva with all of your heart, Hasiru es Elohei hanechar mitovachem v'ha'ashtaros, remove the foreign god from yourselves, right, from within you and from without, and the ashtaros, which I think is just another kind of idol. V'hachino levavchem al Hashem, and direct your heart, prepare your heart towards Hashem, the izuhu levado, and serve Him alone, the atzel eschem yad plishtim, and He will save you from the hands of the plishtim. So a couple of points to mention here, to point out the word levado, serve Him alone, meaning in those times, while idolatry was pretty common, but it wasn't that they didn't believe in Hashem and they didn't serve Hashem. It was that they did both. They served. They saw idols as emissaries or what's the word I'm looking for? Mediaries. Thank you. Intermediaries. Conduits. Right. A way to that Hashem, you know, affects the world, and that they themselves could be served and could be worshipped. By the Rambam, when he talks about early idolatry, about Dor Enosh and how they had these opinions like, you know, certainly they believed in Hashem, but they should serve the sun and the moon because these are the servants of Hashem, and to serve the servants of Hashem is to serve Him. Different opinions like that brought about idolatry. So similar here. It was common to have to serve idols, but also to serve Hashem at the same time. And Shmuel is saying, get rid of those idols and serve Hashem levado, alone. The Netziv has a very interesting idea here. Let's just see actually Pasuk Dalet. It says indeed they did this by Yosir B'nai Yisrael Asa Ba'olim Asa Ashtaros, and indeed they B'nai Yisrael removed the Ba'olim and the Ashtaros by Yavdu Es Hashem Levado, and they served Hashem alone, just Hashem. So the Netziv points out that something similar happened back in Sefer Yoshua. He says that in Perek Chaf Dalet of Yoshua, so Yoshua basically gave a similar drasha to the people, and he warned them, and he said, you know, the way you are right now, you can't serve Hashem, and they said, no, Kiyas Hashem Navod, we will serve Hashem. And Yoshua said that, do you testify to this? And they said, yes. And then he said a similar thing. He said, so then remove the idols that are in your midst. Yoshua said the same thing that Shmuel said.
What happened last week's parsha also, Rachel?
With Rachel and Ravan?
He told us, can't get rid of all your foreign idols.
Uh-huh.
Right, didn't he?
It could be. I don't recall Yaakov.
I think so.
Yeah.
Really misremembering.
Certainly, Rachel took Lavan's idol.
No, I mean after that.
Oh, yeah, very well could be. I don't remember the specific pasuk, but so the people, when Yoshua tells them this, so the people respond indeed. As Hashem Elokeinu Na'avod uVeKolo Nishma, they say, yeah, we're going to serve Hashem and we're going to listen. We're going to heed His voice. Now, they didn't say anything, though, about removing the idol. So the Netziv says that, at that time, the Yetzer Hara, to worship idols, he says, was meshunadik. It was unbelievable. It was very intense. He says the reason was because to them, it was related to their well-being and their parnasa. And because that's where they thought, things were coming from. And so it's an interesting idea that he's saying that it was rooted really, I think that's what he's saying, that it was rooted really in a desire for well-being and money, but ultimately, since they thought that came from their idols, so then it was intense for Yetzer Hara to worship idols. He says, as intense as nowadays, the taiva, the desire for money, that we have nowadays, and he said it was difficult in that time for somebody to just say, I'm not going to serve idols, to just, without, you could take it upon yourself, but it wasn't necessarily easy to hold yourself to it. So he says,
if you were Ram, you would have been running after them.
Running after the idols, yeah, exactly. I think he actually made reference to that Gemara here somewhere. So he says that's why Yehoshua told them very specifically, if you're accepting to serve Hashem alone and not Avodah Zarah, so the only way that you can ensure for yourself that that's actually going to happen is if you take the idols and you chuck them in the garbage. But if you don't do that, if you leave them in your midst, so then you're still going to have that desire and that temptation. And you have to get rid of the idols that are around you among the goyim. You have to get rid of all of that if you have a chance of keeping to your word that you're going to serve Hashem. So that's what Yoshua was telling them. But they didn't do that. They didn't do that. And they relied on themselves, on their own abilities. They said, we won't be nichshol, we won't fall to our temptations. We don't need to get rid of it. We'll just put it in a back closet and you know, nothing will happen. And he says that, right, that's what they said. They said, we're going to serve Hashem and we're going to listen to him. We don't have to be afraid of this. But it doesn't say that they actually did it. And what happened was they returned to their idolatry, and for, you know, the many years to come, on and off, the Jewish people were still involved intensely in idolatry, until Shmuel HaNavi came and he made the same deal with them, and he made the same warning in our pasuk, and he says, if you accept with all your heart and you return to Hashem, get rid of the idols, and then you'll serve Hashem alone. And indeed, they did both. They got rid of the idols and they served Hashem levado, just Hashem. And that, he says, is what it means in the previous pasuk when Shmuel says, v'hachinu levavchem al Hashem, to direct or to prepare your heart towards Hashem, that means to do what's completely, absolutely necessary to ensure success in this venture. And indeed, that's what they did. And as we will see, they were successful, and at least for the lifetime of Shmuel, the people were really on track in terms of their avodas Hashem, their service of Hashem. And indeed, right, it's relevant to us, of course, that if there's something in our home that we have access to that is a temptation, then it's not enough just to say, I'm not going to access it. We have to actually get rid of it or, you know, completely prevent our access to it in order to try. We can't just take upon ourselves. We have to actually make sure that these things are not accessible to us. Hayomer Shmuel, Pasuk Hey, and Shmuel said, "Tivtzu es kol Yisrael haMitzvasa. Gather all the Jewish people to mitzvah. The Esbalel be'atzem al Hashem, and I will daven for you to Hashem." Vayikavtzu haMitzvasa, and they gathered to mitzvah. Mitzvah, by the way, it means like a crater, I think. We have Mitzvah Rimon now in Israel. I think it means a crater or a canyon. Like a canyon.
So it's a watchtower.
So it also had me,
a lookout
means to look out. So that's a good point. I'm not sure how to reconcile those two meanings of it. Because nowadays in Israel there's a place called Mitzvah Rimon, which is like a canyon. But you're right. It relates to the word safa, which means to like peer out, so to gaze. And I was going to say that there's a medrash that implies, or there's in the Mishnah Zav, he says that this was a place that actually looked out onto Shiloh, implying, like you're saying, that it was a high point also. Either way, it was a place where they would gather, and they had gathered here before. We had it recently that they gathered here. And I think before their first war with Pushtim, they gathered here. And it comes, the Radak points out, here or in other places, that the reason why they gathered here was because they had gathered here in the days of Yoshua, and they had been very successful when they did. What we also have here is just a uniting of the Jewish people. They're coming together to daven, and he says, "V'sal ba'atzan el Hashem, and I, says Shmuel, will daven on your behalf to Hashem." Vayikavtu ha-mitzvasa, and they gathered to this place, to mitzvah, vayishavu mayim, and they gathered, they drew water, vayishpichu lifnei Hashem, and they poured it out before Hashem, vayotzu vayomahu, and they fasted on that day, vayomaru sham, and they said there, chatanu la'Hashem, we have sinned to Hashem, they confessed, vayishpot Shmuel b'nei Yisrael v'mitzvah, and Shmuel judged the Jewish people there in mitzvah. So what exactly did they do in mitzvah? They drew water, the Pasuk says, and they poured it before Hashem. It sounds like maybe it was Sukkot, and they were doing the nisuch hamayim, the water libation on the Mizbeach. But none of the Mefarshim say that, and maybe that's because they fasted that day also, so, and you can't fast on Sukkot. So, and they weren't at the Makom HaMizbeach, they weren't by the Mizbeach, so it doesn't seem that, that's what was going on. So the Mefarshim have a couple of different explanations. The Targum Yonah song here, the Targum just says that it's their heart. They I don't know what they drew
poured
water.
Out their
they
hearts like water.
What?
They poured out their hearts.
Exactly.
Like
they
water.
Poured out their hearts like water,
right,
similar
that's
the to the pasuk. Right. Shifti kamayim libe. Pour out your water like your heart like water. No chasnei Hashem towards Hashem. So that would be just an expression of their davening. On a similar note, David says that they. That it refers to their tears. They drew out their tears and poured out their tears before Hashem as in Tshuva. Rashi and the Radak both learned that this was literal and it was symbolic that they were pouring out water. Rashi says that that it was a sign of humility, that they were saying that we are just like spilled water before you. We are lowly, and we are bending ourselves before your will, Hashem. And the Radak says that it was a sign of kapara savonos, of the of course the pasuk word that I didn't know what it referred to, but where water is maybe because it cleans, is related to the cleansing of sins, the atonement of sins. And this was a sign that maybe that they were asking Hashem to atone for their sins, coupled with fasting and vidoy. And they say chatanu Hashem. That's of course the main part of vidoy when we say chatanu, we have sinned. And vayishbo Shmuel es b'nei Yisrael b'mitzvah, and Shmuel judged them in mitzvah. Rashi says, ben ish l'reyehu. Between each man and his friend, if there was a civil or monetary matter to be settled, they settled it. Or on a matter of an avera that they did. I don't know if he coached them, he advised them what to do, how to do tshuva. So this was like a mass tshuva gathering going on here at mitzvah. At this time.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it was, you know, related to this idea of creating unity. So let's settle all our issues, settle all our differences, and then we'll be a united people here at this time.
The shofet was a political term. It meant chieftain.
Yes, but it also means to judge. Like
I
here.
I know, but it doesn't. The idea of adjudication doesn't fit here. The political unity.
So what would be the verb otherwise here?
He became a chieftain.
The X-ray presidential.
He was a leader. He became a leader before the B'nai Yisrael at Mitzvah. I mean, he was stirring them up to go against the Plishtim, right?
Yeah, but.
What was that?
quoting Gemara Yoma, Yuma, more focused on resolving interpersonal disputes, facilitating the process in which a person has one another repair the damage.
Yeah. All right. Now this gathering served another purpose, as we see in the next pasuk. Vayishmu Plishtim Hiskavtu Bnei Yisrael HaMitzvachon. The Plishtim heard that the Jewish people had gathered in Mitzvah. Mayalu Sarni Plishtim El Yisrael, and the generals of Plishtim went up against Israel. Vayishmu Bnei Yisrael, and the Jewish people heard that the Plishtim were coming. Vayiru Mipnei Plishtim, and they were afraid of the Plishtim. You're right. Sounds like a high place. Vayomru Bnei Yisrael El Shmuel, and the Bnei Yisrael said to Shmuel, Al tacharesh mimenu mizaok el Hashem elokeinu. Don't be quiet, Shmuel, from crying out to Hashem on our behalf. V'yoshienu miad Plishtim, and he should save us from the Plishtim. So Shmuel Shmuel is going to bring a carbon in the next pasuk, as we'll see in a moment. We say in Slichos, really, and it comes from the Gemara and the Mishnah in Tanya. We say, Misha ana l'shmuel b'mitzvah hu ya'aneinu. The one who called out to Shmuel in mitzvah, he should answer us. As we see, we'll see that they're going to be, you know, the Jewish people are going to be victorious for this in this war. The Gemara, the Yerushalmi has an interesting comment. It says that Lavash Shmuel Chalukon Shel Kol Yisrael. Shmuel wore the shirt, literally, of all of Israel. Omar Lefanav, and he said to Hashem, Ribono Olamim, Master of the World. Klum Atadong Et Adam Allah Al Shehu Omar Lefanecha Lo Chatasi. You only judge, you only find fault in a person. It doesn't mean only, but you generally find fault in a person for saying, I did not sin. If a person says, I didn't do anything wrong, then Hashem gets angry, as it says, Hinini nishpot osva al amarcha lo chatasi, he quotes the pasuk somewhere, that Hashem says, I'm going to judge you for saying I didn't sin. But these people, they said chatanu, right, like we read in pasuk vav, here the people said chatanu, they confessed, they said we did sin. So that was Shmuel's justification before Hashem that the people should be saved. So the Mishpatot Zav explains that here Shmuel was taking the reign of leadership. He was doing that which is expected of a leader, going in line with Mr. Sapper's understanding of Vayishpot. And he ruled them. He led them. And what he says is that the Medrash says in Tanchuma, the Medrash Tanchuma says in Parsha Shoftim, which definitely speaks of judges. It says there, "Vishaftu esam mishpat tzedek," and you should judge the nation a proper judgment. Sheyumating esam lekaf tzedek. That there's an expectation on the judges, on the leaders, to push the Jewish people towards the side of merit, meaning to beseech Hashem on behalf of the Jewish people. That is part and parcel of the shofet job. The Medrash learned out from the Shoftu Esa'am Mishpat Tzedek that you should judge the nation, a judgment of righteousness, of goodness, that you should show Hashem the righteousness of the nation. And that's indeed what Shmuel did here. He went to Hashem and he said, the people deserve to be saved. Look, they said chatanu, they confessed, And he took on this role of shofet. That's Vayishpot Es Ha'am. And he led the nation. Vayishpot Shmuel Es Bnei Yisrael. Now, where did Chazal see this in this pasuk? That he sort of represented the Jewish people, you know, that he stood up for them. So the Karban Eda, which is one of the Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi, he says, that in Pasuk Vav, there's an extra word. It says, and they gathered to mitzvah, da, 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 it says, Vayomru Sham, Chatanu Hashem. And they said, there, we have sinned to Hashem. So it's an extra word, Sham. And somehow that's supposed to tell us that he represented them. It's not clear how. Mr. Zozov has a very interesting suggestion, which is, he says, it's possible, maybe, Chazal were darshinging Sham to be short for Shmuel. That we actually find this in the Gemara in Shabbos, when it talks about what's the melacha of kosev, of writing. So the melacha is to write two letters. The melacha d'oraisa, to transgress the isra d'oraisa of writing, you have to write two letters on Shabbos. And one of the examples the Gemara gives is, but it has to be two letters, I believe, of either that they are a word themselves, or that they are the beginning of a word. But if there's two letters that aren't a word and don't form a word, so I believe, I may be saying this wrong, but it's not, it wouldn't be the Malacha D'Oraisa. At least maybe according to one opinion. Anyways, the Gemara gives an example there of Shem Mishmuel. That's where the Sefer Shem Mishmuel gets its name from. Shem, Shin Mem, the first two letters of Shmuel. So he says maybe that's what the pasuk is hinting to here. That's what Chazal saw in this pasuk. Like it says, Vayomru Sham, and they said there, but in a way it's saying, and Shmuel said, Chatanu Hashem, that Shmuel sort of took the hit. Or spoke on, right, so the truth is that already he's kind of, if you say this, you have to say the next thing that he said doesn't fit so perfectly in with the Yerushalmi. In the Yerushalmi it says that he said, we have, the people said chatanu. Right, I guess, right, that's how he would read it. He would say, and Shmuel said that the people said chatanu Hashem. Yeah, it says Vayomru, and they said, so it's a drasha, but it would read like, and Shmuel said, Chatanu Hashem. And Shmuel said that the people said, Chatanu Hashem. And that's where they saw, Chazal saw, that Shmuel was telling Hashem, look, they said Chatanu, so you have to accept their tshuva. Yes.
Hashem couldn't have heard the people for himself?
No, sure, but it's an additional level of tefillah. It's an additional level of tefillah. You know, Hashem also knew of their merit, but when it's presented through tefillah, so then it takes on a new level of merit.
I mean, it's explicit over here that the people said to Shmuel, pray on our behalf, and then the next one that says that he basically did.
Right.
So, I guess there's something to say even before that Shmuel was already representing.
Right. You don't have to darshan this in order to know that he was speaking on behalf of the people. It says so explicitly in the text.
Right. Well, I guess the question would be, how do you know that what he said? So,
that I will pray for you, Azachem.
Right, I guess what he's trying to explain is how did Chazal know that this is what he said? Because it doesn't say anywhere what he said. So Chazal, right, did Chazal say this idea that he said that the people said Chatanu? So where did they get that from? So possibly it's from this extra word Sham, which the Karban Eda, I don't think that explains why Sham, you know, would come bring us that drasha, but the Mishpat Zav, Weiss, I think his name, author is.
And why does it say a few sentences later? Al Tachreish Menenu Mizak El Hashem.
You're saying if he already davened, why did they say again? That's a good question. Yeah, not sure. I hear. Okay.
Is it appropriate here for, like, I mean, the Mr. Sapper was asking him to hear the people too. So is it appropriate for the people to turn to the floor and say, you know, pray for us, save us? Or, like, you know, would it be appropriate thing event for them to pray for themselves? Or
good question. It's always like, I think maybe in this context, I read something recently like that a person should first try to daven for themselves. If they're not capable of davening, so then they should turn to a tzaddik to daven on their behalf. But at the same time, I think that it's also common to just try to have a tzaddik daven for you because of his merits. And so,
or he knows what sentiments to lead the people in thinking and saying.
Right. Or he knows what to daven and how to represent them. So. Yeah, it's an interesting question. But yeah, definitely their choice was to have Shmuel daven. Okay, so pasuk test, what happened? Vayikach Shmuel tlei chalav echad, and Shmuel took a nursing sheep, a milchik sheep. Yeah, no, he took a female sheep. One second. I think there's different understandings here. Oh yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, that's not where they get female from. They're gonna get female from later in the pasuk. It was a lamb, that was still a young lamb, still nursing. Vaya'alehu ola kovil Hashem, and he brought it as an ola, a burnt offering to Hashem. Vayizak Shmuel el Hashem be'ad Yisrael, and Shmuel cried out to Hashem on behalf of Israel. Vaya'aneyu Hashem, and Hashem answered him. As we're going to see, one interpretation is Hashem answering him because a fire came down and accepted the carbon, and one understanding is Hashem answering him from what's going to happen and how they're going to be victorious over the Plishtim. So, but he brings this lamb as a carbon. So there's a kriuk siv on this word vaya'alehu, spelled without the vav, but pronounced with the vav. Yeah. So Chazal learn out from here that, I don't know the grammar of it, but that this was a nekeva. It was that the lamb was a female. And even though no ola is brought from females, ola, carbon ola, burnt offering, is generally has to be a male. However, that's all true on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash and in the Mishkan. However, they learn from here that on a Bamas Yachid, on a individual's Bama, individual's Mizbeach altar, you're allowed to bring a female as an Ola. Once we're mentioning this, we can mention also, what is Shmuel doing bringing a carbon on a bama and not on a mizbeah? So I think we mentioned a couple weeks ago that during the time of the Mishkan in Shiloh, you were not allowed to bring a carbon on a bama. However, when the Aron was captured, so at the same time Shiloh was destroyed, and they brought the Mizbeach to Nob, And during that time period, while the Mizbeach was in, while the, until basically from the destruction of Shiloh until the building of the first Beis HaMikdash, it was a time of Hetzer HaBamos again, where Bamos were once again allowed. And that's why Shmuel was here bringing a carbon on a random Mizbeach, on a random Bama. There is an interesting idea, it seems, from various sources that that a Levi or a Kohen was not allowed to bring a carbon on a Bama. Only a Yisrael, even during the time of Hetzer HaBama. Which then begs the question, how could Shmuel, who was a Levi, bring a carbon on a Bama? So one answer is it was a harasha. It was you know, Hashem, you don't have it, was in the pasuk, but that it was a special instruction from Hashem that he could that he was allowed to do it in this situation. I think it's only according to one opinion that a Levi can't bring a carbon on a Bama. At the end of the parak, we'll see that. Seems that Shmuel had built a bama in his backyard and was bringing carbonos all the time. So if you accept this, that a lady is not supposed to, then you have to say there was other people bringing it on his behalf. I think it was Mr. Zav pointing out an interesting idea based on this, that if this was unique, one-time thing, that Shmuel was allowed to do this, so he said that would help us understand why Korach thought that he had the right to the kahuna, because it says that Eino Hatasso, his eye tricks him, because he saw his descendant Shmuel, says, you know, this great descendant coming from him. I don't think the Medrash explains much more than that of what it was that made him think that he deserved, you know, to be the Kohen Gadol. But it says that, you know, he saw that he had a great descendant, so he thought he was right. So it's possible, he says, that he saw his great descendant bringing a carbon, you know, when he was only a Levi, and a Levi is normally not allowed to bring a carbon. Okay, a Kohen wasn't either allowed to bring one on Obama. Now, okay, you have to work with the idea, but somehow, perhaps, this is what Korach saw. He saw his descendant Shmuel bringing a carbon, and he said, "Oh, you know, that looks like, you know, the Kahuna's going to be in my family. I must be right." Shmuel was a descendant with Korach, and that's why his prophecy tricked him into thinking that he should be the Kohen Gadol.
I wonder if the rabbi would think that this temporary bama, the presence of this temporary bama might explain why the people were pouring out water. They were pouring out the water onto...
They were doing like a Nisa Panayim.
Right, they were pouring it onto the newly built bama to dedicate it.
To dedicate it. Could be.
To purify it.
Right. Could be.
That's why they were pouring water.
Yeah, it's interesting. It sounds like it was more, it says, Vayishpachu lishnei Hashem, that they poured it before Hashem. That it wouldn't necessarily just be a dedication. It sounds like it itself was some kind of service. But right, maybe similar to the Nisuch HaMayim, the pouring of the water libations, which are done on the Mizbeach, on Sukkot, they were pouring water on the Mizbeach.
No, I didn't mean the libation. I meant the dedication, the purifying.
Yeah, right, I wouldn't think that it would be appropriate to say Lishnei Hashem if it's more of a preparatory action, but...
Somebody brought a sheep. Right. They were intending to do the sacrifice
right.
all along.
Right.
They brought along the sheep.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't just appear out of the air.
It was supposed to be for lunch, then they changed their mind.
Obviously, I'm wrong.
Yeah, they were fasting.
That's right. Okay.
There you go. Okay.
You come every week.
For the fifth.
No, they burnt it up completely. So.
They didn't get the email.
So Shmuel brings this young calf as a carbon. Why a young calf? Why a nursing calf specifically? Not a calf, a lamb. Okay, I don't think not. This, I'm not going to answer why a female, but at least why a. I don't know why a female. It's a good question. But why a nursing lamb, a young lamb? So the Radvaz was asked. The general question about these psukim, and in his answer he mentioned that the reason was, with Yipshuto, he says, simple understanding is that just like the lamb, its eyes and its heart and all its trust is just in its mother, the milk of its mother, it doesn't know how to, you know, see on its own and to find food on its own. So too, the Jewish people were saying at this, you know, Shmuel was saying that all our, you know, our eyes and our trust is only on you, Hashem. And right, as he says, that they removed their idols from, and they served Hashem alone. They all eyes were on Hashem. And that was represented by this young lamb. Vayehi Shmuel Ma'aleh Ha'ola, and it was Pasuk Yod. Shmuel was bringing in the middle of bringing the karban. The Plishtim Nigshu LaMelchama BeYisrael, and the Plishtim approached to go to war against the Jewish people. Shmuel continues on with his, he's focused on his task. Vayareim Hashem b'kol gadol, vayomahu aplishtim vayehu meim. And Hashem thundered a great voice on that day on the plishtim, and he confused them, he befuddled them. Vayinag filishtim Hashem, and they Yisrael, and they were struck before the Jewish people, meaning even before the Jewish people got to them, they were already in bad shape from this loud noise, thundering noise that Hashem rang in their ears. And then Vayetzu Anshe Yisrael min haMitzvah, and the Jewish people went out from the mitzvah. Here, to me, it sounds like it's a containing area, but by your defense, Christian.
I'm sorry, it was also a fortified place.
Oh, you're saying it was a high point fortified, and they were out from it.
Oh, yeah. You see them in Europe sometimes.
By your defense, Plishtim, and they chased after the Plishtim, by Yakum, and they struck them, Ad Mitaka to the base car, until under the below this place, base car. So at first Hashem gives them a good striking, and then the Jewish people take chase and chase them down. So they are victorious. And Shmuel took a stone, and he placed it between the mitzvah and between the chain, which is a tooth, which is some kind of jutting rock. Vayikra Shema Evan Ha'azer, and he named the place Evan Ha'azer. Vayomar, and he said, Adhina Azaranu Hashem, until here Hashem helped us. The Mitzudas David explains that this was the point where the Plishtim were chased to, and from then after that the Jewish people themselves were able to attack them, but up until this place, just Hashem on his own, without human involvement, struck the people, struck the Plishtim, and that was what was being recognized by this rock. We've actually encountered this Evan Ha'azir a couple times in the last few Prakim, and each time I think I pointed out that it wasn't actually, even though the Pasuk refers to it as Evan Ha'azir even before, but it didn't actually get its name Evan Ha'azir until this moment. Where because Hashem helped them, and he named the place Evan Ha'azir. Vayikanu Plishtim, and the Plishtim were subdued, and they didn't continue to come within the borders of Israel. Vatihiyad Hashem Bapushtim, and the hand of Hashem was against the Pushtim, Kol Yimei Shmuel, all the days of Shmuel. Vatashovdo He'arim Asher Lakhu Pushtim Eish Yisrael, Yisrael, and all the cities that the Pushtim had taken from the Jewish people were returned to them, Me Ekron Ve'at Gath, from Ekron to Gath, Beth Tivulang, and their bordering areas, Hitzel Yisrael Me'at Pushtim, Hashem saved from the Pushtim, Vayhi Shalom Ben Yisrael Ve'ing Ha'emori, and there was peace between the Jewish people and the Emori, who, you know, not the Pushtim, but even the Emori, as long as the Jewish people were under the reign of the Pushtim, so the Amorites felt strong and felt that they can they could fight the Jewish people. But once the Jewish people were in power, so then they agreed to peace. Vayishpot Shmuel as Yisrael kol yemei chayav, and Shmuel judged the Jewish people all the days of his life. V'holach midei shana b'shana, and he would go throughout the year, Vesava Beis El, and he would go around to Beis El, Ve'agilad, Ve'amitzvah, all these different places. Ve'shabat es Yisrael, Eskola Mekomo Sa'il, and he judged the Jewish people in all these places. U'tshuvaso Aramasa, and then he would return to Ramah, Kisham Beis El, because that's where his house was. Visham Shabbat es Yisrael, and there he would judge the Jewish people. Ve'even Sham Mizbeach Hashem, and he built a Mizbeach there for Hashem. So Shmuel was a very active leader. He would go from town to town, teaching and darshaning and judging and making himself available. And then he would come home, and at home as well, he was available to judge the people. And that's how he was able to continue to have such an effect on the Jewish people.